Oh, haven't you heard about the latest thing? There's a mom and a dad and a boyfriend and a girlfriend, and they all live in one happy family.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I'm not in the least bit surprised with what's happening in our society. Not at all. Not in the least bit surprised. I fully expected these things to be happening, deterioration of marriage, family, at least during the season. The only thing that surprises me is how quickly things have deteriorated on our watch. The good news is, if God is with us, who can be against us? The tide can be turned. Michael Brown, thank you for joining me today on The Line of Fire. Had a great few days in Nashville at the National Religious Broadcasters Conference. Back home today and then broadcasting live later in the week from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Yeah, it's a long way from New York City where I was born. But we're going to have great shows the rest of the week. To join in with your comments, with your questions, here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Later in the broadcast, I want to share with you some of the content of an article just posted today on townhall.com, 7 Biblical Principles for World Changers. Friends, we sound the alarm here on The Line of Fire, not to put fear in you, not to discourage you, but to help you to be realistic, to recognize what's going on in the society around us, and then to know how to respond and what we are to do. There's never an excuse for us to put our head in the sand. There's never an excuse for us to somehow just ignore what's going on because it's too heavy. No, we serve the living God. We serve the King. We serve the Creator of the universe. God is not fazed. God is not worried. God is not anxious. We don't have to be. We need to look at what's happening and then say, Lord, what are we to do? How are we to make a difference? How does the message of the gospel hit home and bring transformation today? 866-348-7884 is the number to call. I want to talk about some of the things happening in marriage, in family, some of the things now that are becoming the new norm. Friends, there is a slippery slope. Once the sexual revolution of the 60s had its impact, bringing the great generation gap that took place at that time, by great, I mean large, bringing with it all types of promiscuity, sex being associated primarily with recreation and not procreation, kids no longer being joined together with a mom and dad as they had been on such a high level through the centuries. Once this has its effect, gay activism, radical feminism, no-fault divorce, and on, it's only inevitable that the changes that we're seeing in front of us will take place, namely redefining marriage, making it genderless so that it can be two people instead of a man and a woman. And if it can just be two people, why not three? Why not four? Why not five? Why not two grown close relatives? This is where we're at. This is the reality. This is how things are unfolding in front of our eyes on a daily basis. When we come back, I'll share some of it with you, not to discourage you, but to say if ever there was a time for light to shine, if ever there was a time for us to model righteousness, if ever there was a time for us to not be ashamed of the gospel and to stand up boldly and clearly for who we are and what we believe, that time is now. Friend, you were made for such a time as this.
fire we plead.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. Can I remind you that Jesus did not come into the world to establish a new set of religious traditions, to set up a lovely home and garden religion called Christianity? Jesus came to revolutionize the world. 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH, online, askdrbrown.org. Just click on The Line of Fire. All right, where do we start? Where do we start? There are many who say there is no slippery slope. There, if you open the door to say redefining marriage and say two men can marry, two women can marry, it's not going to affect anything else. It's not going to lead to polygamy. It's not going to lead to the recognition of polyamory, just multiple partners in the same household. Well, in point of fact, these things have been unfolding in front of our eyes for some time now. These things have been normalized more and more, and it's like the frog in boiling water, the proverbial frog in boiling water, that by the time it realizes it's being boiled, it's too late to jump out. Well, it's not too late for us to stand, but we need to be awakened and realize we're not just here to have a lovely faith and a lovely religion and a lovely Sunday service. We're here to be world changers. I'm on the radio to help spark moral, cultural, spiritual revolution through the gospel. It begins with our lives being changed, and as we're changed, we can change others. It begins by us connecting to God in secret. It begins by our churches catching a vision that we're called not just to make it, not just to survive, not just to occupy a building, but to rock the world with the gospel. The Bible is the world's most widely distributed book by the billions. It's also the world's most widely banned book because it is a threat to the status quo. It is a threat to the kingdom of Satan. It is a threat to the dead religious system. It is a threat to dogmas that deny God. It is a threat to idolatry. And we need to read it not just as, oh, that's beautiful. Oh, the Word of God is filled with beautiful sayings. Not just that, but Lord, that's wonderful. That's the formula for changing the world. You say, man, what are you all worked up about today? Well, it's Wednesday. It's Wednesday. We focus on the world, on moral, cultural issues. Right now, as we are broadcasting, all over the greater New York, New Jersey area and into New England among some of the great stations that we're on. Perhaps this is a good time to mention that Yale University sponsored a workshop recently teaching, I'll use words delicately here because we don't know who's listening. You may be in the car with your family. Yale hosted a workshop that taught sensitivity to people with animals. I'm just reading the article here. The range of activities discussed in the workshop was considered to be sexual diversity. People do engage in some of these activities that we believe only, for example, perverts engage in. But the goal is to increase compassion for people who may engage in activities that are not what you would normally or personally consider normal. Oh, it's with family members. Hey, maybe it's not so taboo. Don't judge other people. We all have something to be embarrassed about. Yeah, about 40 students were there. But one of the goals was to say just because people think something is deviant doesn't mean it's bad. Survey responses revealed that 9% of attendees had been paid for sex. 3% had engaged in activity with animals. Keep reading this. I am simply saying that this is Yale University, a school founded by Christians, by believers, a school that was marked by great revivals in its history. Who could have possibly imagined anything like this? All right, check out a radio interview, NPR, National Public Radio, just talking about the new norms. Hey, get used to it, America. Don't be bigoted. Get used to it. Yes, yes, I'm being sarcastic. Let's play that first part of the interview, Joey.
Deramino is a sex educator who wrote the go-to manual on open relationships. She told Steve Paulson there are many forms of what she calls ethical non-monogamy.
Anywhere from swinging to people who are polyamorous and have multiple partners who they have love and sexual relationships with, to people who have a primary partner and then may have just sex partners on the side.
Hey, that's fine. Hey, it's fine. Get used to it. You see, this is the new enlightenment, what used to be called adultery. I was reading one scholar who mentioned that a generation back, the way we would have an abhorrence, say, to incest, generation back, that's how adultery was viewed. Now, it's just fine. That's great. Whatever arrangement you want. Hey, it's all about love. And if it's consensual, it's fine. This is National Public Radio, just talking about it casually. Let's continue with a little more of the interview.
Why do so many people want to engage in some sort of open relationship?
Well, I think for some people, it's simply because monogamy doesn't work. I mean, monogamy may be this revered and sacred institution, but as a relationship style, it's really pretty dismal and has failed a lot of people. So people are looking for an alternative. And there are people out there who say, I don't want to cheat. I want to be honest about this. And how can we create a relationship and a set of guidelines that incorporate other partners and do it in a really responsible way?
Oh, yeah. Hey, this is just NPR. Just a nice conversation. It's so reasonable. Monogamy really doesn't work. I mean, it's a drag. Just one man, one woman for life. I mean, come on, it's boring. Boring. Yeah. Look, I'm being sarcastic. Yes, I'm being sarcastic. You say, Mike, we know you're being sarcastic. Well, not everyone does. I was engaging in some sarcasm last week about Jews being money hungry and mocking that. Yeah, all Jews are money hungry, right? I was mocking that concept. And I get an angry note on Facebook. How dare you say Jews are money hungry? So I'm explaining. My apologies to New Yorkers, where sarcasm is just normal communication, for mentioning that I'm being sarcastic. But I want to make that clear. Yeah. Monogamy. I mean, it just doesn't work. It's a drag. So you just have an open relationship. Hey, honey, I got somebody on the side. And you know what? They're going to move in, too. So one night I'll be with you and one night I'll be with them. Won't that be great and fun? And yeah, the kids can grow up in this, like have an extra babysitter around. Hey, what could be better, right? Let's continue with this lovely interview on NPR.
It's the default model because that is the cultural standard that, you know, sort of the definition of a successful relationship is you find one partner and stay with that person forever.
Yeah, I think that that's what we are brought up to believe. We're brought up to believe that it's the mature choice. Yeah. And when you're truly in love with someone, you want to be monogamous with them because you don't want anyone else. And that's just not true for people. You know, there are a lot of people out there who believe that you could love more than one person at a time. And other people who believe you can love someone strongly, commit to them strongly, and still have other sexual partners that doesn't infringe on your primary partnership.
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course. The idea that if you truly love someone, you just want to be faithful to that one person or want that one person to be faithful to you. I mean, that's just what we were taught growing up. It's obviously not reality. And only the most jealous, small-minded person would have an issue with an open relationship. All right, one more clip from this remarkable interview.
people in open relationships, I think, are really interested in redefining marriage more than throwing it out altogether. I don't think that you can necessarily assume just because someone's married that in their vows to each other or in their conversations with one another that they've agreed to sexual fidelity.
Yeah, who would have thought of that when you said to death do us part? Who actually thought you were promising sexual faithfulness? Friends, the scary thing is this is just casual interview, and it's just becoming more and more accepted by the day in America. It's the new sexual revolution. Church, time to wake up. Come out of the closet, proclaim the gospel, stand up for what's right. What are we waiting for?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. All right. Question for you. 866-34-TRUTH. When you hear these kinds of things going on, I'm looking at another article about sex education. For kindergartners, all of you with five-year-olds out there, kindergarten, oh, yeah, brilliant. That's just exactly what they need. When you hear these things, what's your mentality? Do you hear this and say, it's all over, Jesus must be coming back any minute, let's just focus on getting our own lives clean and winning as many lost people as we can because we're out of here any moment? Or does something rise up in you saying, we can bring about change through the gospel? If this is what the flesh can do, if this is what the world can do, if this is what Satan can do, we can bring about change through the gospel. 866-348-7884. I'm not challenging your position. I'm simply asking. You hear these kinds of things. Do you say to yourself, what's the use? Society is just completely deteriorated. The family's just falling apart, marriage is gone, or do you have the mentality, we can stand up for righteousness? If God is for us, who can be against us? Whoever said it was going to be easy? Whoever said that the darkness was just going to turn into light on its own? Whoever said that the world was going to become godly on its own? You know, it reminds me of a story about a company. It's just a mythical story to illustrate a point, but a shoe company did research to expand their international market and sent their top salesman to launch their product over in Africa. They sent him into the city. They had studied this for many months, were convinced this was the next market for expansion. They ship hundreds of boxes of shoes. And he sends an email immediately upon arrival and said, you sent me to the wrong place. Are you crazy? They don't even wear shoes here. The people don't even wear shoes. He said, get me out of here. So they fly him back, and the company execs sit down and talk about it and say, you know, no. This is the right thing. This is that we believe this is the right thing to do. So they send another salesman. He arrives, and within a day, they get an email from him. He said, I need thousands more boxes of shoes. Nobody here has any shoes. How are you going to look at the situation around you? How are you going to look at it? Are you going to look at it as if it's over, this is the final apostasy, the darkness is only going to get darker? Or is this the time when you say, praise God, this gives us the opportunity to stand up? Oh, not praise God for the evil or praise God for the breakdown of the family or praise God for these other things unfolding, but rather praise God that we have the answer and that our families can be different than the families in this world, and our marriages can be different, and our kids can be different, and we can be different, and we can proclaim Jesus in the midst of the wholeness of our lives. 866-34-TRUTH. Holly in Danvers, Massachusetts, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Holly, you're on the air.
Okay.
Go ahead, please. Yes, go ahead, please.
Hi. I'm just really sick and... Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. All right. Well, I don't know what happened to Holly there. Maybe she didn't turn the radio down, but we were here listening. All right, Tommy and... Well, Tommy's gone. This looks like a conspiracy. Johnny, I think this is a conspiracy today by... well, be serious. 866-348-7884. Yeah, I know the aliens again. Look, Jesus said in this world you'll have trouble. That meant pressure, opposition, difficulty. But John wrote, 1 John 5:19, this is in the first century. This is a generation or two after the time of Jesus. All right? John wrote then, 1 John 5:19, that the whole world is under the power of the evil one. The whole world is under the power of the evil one. We are of God, little children, but the whole world is under the power of the evil one. That's what was written then. In other words, we shouldn't be surprised to see this happening. I said earlier, I'm surprised by the rapidity of the change. I'm surprised by how quickly many of these things are unfolding. But I'm not surprised that they've actually happened, because we have largely given up the sacredness of marriage. We open the door. I say we. I'm talking about believers. I'm talking about heterosexual believers. We open the door wide to these things with no-fault divorce in the church. We open the door wide by sexual scandals and promiscuity and pornography in our own midst. We, as the salt, failed to be salty. We, as the light, failed to shine. Hence, the world is going to do worldly things. It's going to get more promiscuous. It's going to get more deviant. It's going to seek to redefine marriage to the point that it has no meaning anymore. The good news is that if we open the door, then we can close it. Oh, I don't mean that by getting our own act in order, society will change overnight. What I mean is that if we stand up for what is right, we can now start to go against the grain. The dominoes that are falling can stop with us. And in Jesus' name, we can win the lost. We can make disciples. We can bring about change. All right, phone lines are jammed. Friends, I was in Nashville meeting with station managers for many of the fine stations where this broadcast airs. And I was so blessed to see our friends at Wava FM. You hear the first half hour live on FM, but you can actually hear the whole hour live on AM. So if you're leaving us now, switch over to the AM station. Keep listening. I want to get to all these calls on the other side of the break. Remember, our battle is first and foremost spiritual. First and foremost, this is a spiritual battle, not a natural battle. That means that our greatest weapons are found in prayer and understanding spiritual warfare and how to stand for the Lord. We've put together a special package, 24 hours of teaching, two full 12-hour classes I did on spiritual warfare and on angels, demons, and deliverance. They're only $40 plus postage. Today, $15 postage paid. Practical, life-changing teaching on CDs to listen to on your computer or your MP3 player. Call right now. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or you can go online to my website, askdrbrown.org. Just click on the online bookstore there or call 1-800-278-9978. Friends, let's stand together in the Lord. We are making a real difference.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. It's Wednesday. We focus on the world, on moral, cultural issues. We're talking about ongoing radical redefinition of marriage, the deterioration of marriage as we know it. It's like putty. You pull it in so many different directions, it ultimately loses its shape. The good news is we can live this out. We can shine as lights in the midst of the darkness. We can stand for righteousness, and God will be with us. And our goal, our role, our calling is to be witnesses, to be watchmen, to be faithful to the mission we've been given. And ultimately, the results are in God's hands. 866-348-7884. Online, AskDrBrown.org. Just click on the Line of Fire. Hey, if you're listening to a live stream right now, if you're listening on oneplace.com and you want to stand with us, there's a button that says donate. You can click on that at any time and join us, partner with us, become a monthly torchbearer, help us with a one-time gift. It would really help us expand the work that we are doing all the more effectively. Let me go to the phones, beginning with Mary in Jersey City, New Jersey. Thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I think that the main issue is the fact that we all of the churches have different standards. I mean, it's almost like if we were to construct a building where every person who constructs a part of the building uses their own standards. Someone says 12 inches equals 1 foot. Someone says 9 inches equals 1 foot. We'll all have different standards, and the building won't survive. It'll collapse eventually. And I think that's what's happening in our world, where everything is collapsing around us because we all have different standards. And there's a book that just came out titled A Return to God by Rebecca Isaac. It's on Amazon.com. And I think it shows exactly why, you know, what exactly is happening in the world, why everything is collapsing around us, and the fact that even our churches are eventually going to collapse because we can't withstand the evil that's coming against us. I mean, it's coming with such a force and such velocity that everything is going to crumble. And so we have an opportunity, I think, to at least say, what can we do? How can we, you know, what can we do, and how can we move to the next level spiritually?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing, Mary, whatever we do with hope and faith because God is God. In other words, we're not putting our trust in a human system. We recognize issues in the church. You outlined it correctly to say so many different standards. How can we speak of moral absolutes? But what we have to do is get back to the basics. I'm not familiar with that book. We'll take a look at it. But we have to get back to the basics. We have to make the main things. We have to turn back to God personally. And we have to realize, okay, this is not the time for us to be sitting on the sidelines strategizing. This is the time for us to be on the front lines. And what happens sometimes is we get to a breaking point, and finally believers realize, oh my God, this is affecting my kids. What? This is affecting my religious liberties. Wait, this I'm watching people backslide all around me. Then we start to wake up. The problem is we've given away so much ground that we've made it so difficult to stand up that it becomes more challenging. However, it's not too late, but there must be a sense of urgency. Mary, thank you for the call. It's always good to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH. Are you feeling urgency in your heart? Are you feeling urgency for righteousness? Are you feeling urgency for the next generation? Okay, I'll just say this really quickly. Nancy and I had a meal one day with a Christian leader who's talking about his kids ranging from 16 to 31, and how the things that were absolute shockers to his 31-year-old, his 16-year-old recognizes they're wrong, but not shocked at all. Kind of ho-hum, because everybody's doing it. It's all over the media, and it's the norm. We need to be counterculture people. Quit trying to save your reputation, have everybody like you, have your reputation being a Jesus person. That's the reputation you want to be known. Back with your call. Stay with us. Send it, Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, look at these quotes from Dante of Dante's Inferno. The darkest places in hell are reserved for those who maintain their neutrality in times of moral crisis. And then, based on that, Dr. Martin Luther King, the hottest place in hell is reserved for those who remain neutral in times of great moral conflict. I want to take a moment before I go to the phones, 866-348-7884. I want to take a moment to speak to pastors and Christian leaders, Christian educators, Bible school professors. I want to take a moment to speak to you and urge you on the day of accounting when we stand before God, or when the next generation simply looks at us and asks what we've done, let it not be said that we were afraid of conflict. Let it not be said that we were afraid of controversy. Let it not be said that we didn't want to hurt people's feelings. I was interacting with a publisher about a book that I'm working on. I plan to finish this after the Hyper Grace book, tentatively called Can You Be Gay and Christian? Where we'll really deal with the biblical issues and the social issues, and we'll do it with great compassion. We do have a publisher for it, a courageous publisher that's eager to put it out, and has made clear their goal is to get the truth out, not to make money. God will bless them for doing that. Well, I was interacting with another publisher, and I don't question their motives at all. I don't question that at all, but they wrote back and said, no, it's not really what they were looking for. They were looking for a different tone. So I wrote back and said, what tone are you looking for? They said, actually, we feel some of what's in your book kind of represents the extreme elements, and we're looking for something gentler. And I wrote back and said, how interesting. I said, because I've been researching this for 9 years. I'm quoting all mainstream people. Everybody I'm quoting is mainstream. And if you read it, especially as the book opens, it's as delicate and graciously written as possible. So I'm not judging their motives. I'm not telling them what to do or why to do it. And I don't make any monetary judgment on it whatsoever. No, it's a money issue to them. But it boggles my mind that with this massively critical social, moral, religious issue, that people still think they just have to tippy-toe. Friends, those who differ with us are not tippy-toeing. Oh, we don't overcome hate with hate. We don't overcome darkness with darkness. We don't overcome violence with violence. No, of course not. We overcome evil with good. Is one of the seven biblical principles for world changers that we just posted online. Go to townhall.com. You can read it today. And if I don't get into those seven principles this hour, I'll plan on sharing them later in the next hour. But friends, pastors, leaders, are you afraid that if you stand up for what's right with love, with compassion, but if you stand up for what's right, you'll lose some tithing members? Are you afraid if you stand up for what's right, your enrollment will go down in your school? Are you afraid if you stand up for what's right that your board will turn against you? Well, what are you going to do when you have to stand before God, friends? What are you going to do when you have to give account to God? He's going to look right through us, and he's going to see through every excuse, and every excuse will vanish at that moment. Let's do what's right so that future generations, however much time is left, will look back at us and say, you honored the Lord, you had courage, you had faith, and you were full of love. Let's walk in such a way that when we stand before the Lord, we won't have to hang our head in shame. Or as our grandkids say, what were you doing? Or our kids say, Mom, Dad, what were you thinking? We won't have to hang our head in shame. And where we don't have the answers, let's go to the Lord and say, God, you have the answers. What do I know? I'm just a sheep. I need your wisdom. I need your love. I need your compassion. I need your grace. I need your truth. But I want to make a difference. He'll use you, friend. He'll use you. 866-348-7884. Jim in use. All right, we lost Jim. Ron in Irvington, New York. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello?
Yes, Ron, you're on the air.
Yeah. First, I want to commend you, Dr. Brown, for this all the good that you do. The show, your book, your debates, and all of that. It's real good work.
Well,
however, on this one topic, I really disagree with you in terms of thinking that the church can turn the tide of what's going on in this country and around the world. I think
tell me why.
Well, because I there's no question we need to be light. I'm not suggesting that we sit on a couch as Christians and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to be light. And we're supposed to try to affect our neighbors and people we come in contact with and friends and relatives and all of that. But to think that even if we all do that, that we are going to turn the tide of this deep-seated hate that this country and many other countries seem to have against three things. It seems that you cannot talk about Jesus, you can't mention the Bible, and you can't be a Christian. Because people hate that. They don't want to hear anything about that. They
yeah.
want to have, as you've cited, all the numerous things. See, those are symptomatic, all the problems.
Absolutely symptomatic. But, Ron, yeah, let me jump in.
Just one other point. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Because it's so deep-seated, there's such a hate for what God's righteousness is that they don't want to hear it.
Right. Here's the thing. And, Ron, I appreciate the kind words, and I appreciate your candor. That's why we have a live talk show, so folks can call in and share their views honestly. Number one, my hope is in God, not people. In other words, I'm not thinking if we try hard enough, we can bring about change, just rally everybody together and have a nice marriage, and suddenly everybody will say, okay, you guys are the best. No, I'm looking to the Lord to bring awakening. If you study American history, we've had some real dark times. The late 1700s, after the Revolutionary War, we had some real dark times. There were times that at our Ivy League campuses founded by Christians that when they did surveys out of the several hundred students at the different campuses, they couldn't find a single professing Christian. And when Christians would meet, they would meet with secret code because they didn't want to be caught or known. This is in American history, so I'm looking to the Lord to bring awakening, to turn the tide. And also, as much as there is hostility, the media magnifies it. There are plenty of God-fearing people, tens of millions, and there are other tens of millions who are hurting and looking for help. So, Ron, your call helps me to make sure that I'm saying clearly this is not just social action I'm talking about. I'm talking about us turning to God and God bringing awakening and revival. In the natural, Ron, I agree with you, it's impossible. But with God, who knows the awakening and the transformation that come? Also, the ways of the flesh and the ways of the world and Satan ultimately fail, which means that worldly ways will not be rewarded, that worldly ways will end up in disaster. All right, to the phones. John in Queens, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, good afternoon, Dr. Brown. It's really a tremendous thing just listening to you over the airways. You know, I really study your material, all your books. I just want to add, you know, truly, we really need a revolution in the way we think. I am a writer, I'm an author, and I just came out with my new book, Don't Play With Me. I Am Life, It Speaks and Deals with Male Sexuality. And if we don't confront our young men and men on the whole concerning their identity, their origin, and the purpose or meaning for living, truly we wouldn't actually add or help in fixing or solving the problem. And the whole problem, it goes back with identity, how we view our origin. This is where we're going to live our lives, and most people don't understand where they came from. We live in a society where no one is teaching the young mind that they have a place of origin, a place of beginning, and it all goes back to the Creator himself. And basically, I deal with the sexual aspect of the male person and why we are the way we are from a theistic worldview and how we ought to function in our sexuality in relation to society, in relation to women, in relation to all what we have been exposed to. And I want to say that the book is out there and it's adding to
tell us the name of the book again, John.
The name of the book is Don't Play With Me, I Am Life by J.L. Lewis.
Got it. All right. Let me just ask this. We just got 20 seconds before the break. Do you believe that with God's help, the tide in America can be turned?
Definitely, because I am seeing it in the lives of many young men who I am speaking to, being exposed to all these different media and all these different effects on their mind, and they're changing because they choose to let the Word of God reside in their mind, and they're now making a choice, an active effort on their part. They now are overcoming.
Got it. All clear. Hey, so if it can happen one life at a time, it could happen in 2 or 10 or 20, or that one life could be a future president of the United States. Put your hope in God, friends. All things are possible.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh boy, from England. LifeSite News reports, pornography and depictions of sexuality have turned more than 4,500 British children, some of them as young as 5, into sexual offenders, according to a UK-based child welfare charity. A Freedom of Information Act request showed that 4,562 minors, 98% of them boys, committed 5,028 sexual offenses over a three-year period from 2009 to 2012. Three separate police forces reported 5-year-olds committing sexual offenses. Child-on-child sex abuse and rape is a growing problem in every culture where pornography flourishes, according to Patrick Truman, a former federal prosecutor in the Reagan administration and president of Morality in Media. He said children act out what they see. If they see acts of love and charity, they will mimic those. But when they see sexual violence, domination, rape, and other similar acts so commonly depicted in modern-day pornography as today's children do, they will act out those as well. God help us. 866-348-7884. All right, I am just having a slight... All right. Hang on. Give me 1 second, and I will be back at the phones. I'm just having a it's not brain freeze. It's a computer freeze here on the screen. Joey, could you kindly connect me with the parent whose kid took a stand in school? I would greatly appreciate that. Yes, I am so sorry. I can't call you by name or place, but my computer screen is completely frozen, but I do want to talk to you. So please tell me who you are and where you're calling from.
I'm calling from Belmont, Massachusetts.
Okay, great. Yeah, please tell me what happened.
Well, my son attends first grade in Watertown, and he came home and told me about a story that the teacher was reading to him about the princess party, where one young boy's parents were encouraging him to have a party for a cowboy or some sort of theme, but he wanted to have it for a princess, and it led into being a homosexual type story where the two boys, one boy attends the party with them, and all the girls come, and the two boys end up together at the end of the story, and I just went in to talk to the principal about this.
Now just so everyone catches this, this is a first grader.
This is a first grader, yeah.
All right, and six years old.
Yep, 6 years old. The principal was very nice about it, but she told me that, there was some kids that had same-sex parents inside that classroom, and they were trying to be sensitive to that. So, my reply was, my son, spoke up in class and said that, me and my father read the Bible, and that, Jesus doesn't like that. And, the teacher told him that he was not to talk about Jesus during class. And so I'm just going to step out of the car for a second here. So I was, was told that he couldn't speak about Jesus in class. And, I talked to the principal, and I said, you're talking about diversity, then if you're being sensitive to the fact that these children have same-sex parents, then I want you to be sensitive to the fact that my son born in a Christian home, and he needs to have that same type of respect and consideration. And I went on to ask for that, that those two children aren't asked to to hang up their lifestyle at the doorway when they walk into the school, nor should my son be asked to hang up Jesus in his locker that he takes Jesus into the classroom with him. That's how he's born and raised. And I would, you know, like the fact that, he has that same sensitivity brought to him as a Christian as these children are that are brought up in their home and their lifestyle. And, you know, people are going to be what they are, but to favor one side over the other is my concern, that that point of view is being brought into the school systems and pushed very heavily from a young age. And my concern is, you know, are they going to bring in someone to talk about the importance of, you know, opposite-sex parents and the success rate that children have that come from non-divorced homes? My child's coming from a divorced home.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are the statistics and what are the other sides of the story? And is everybody in this so-called diversity era going to be recognized?
Yeah, the diversity goes one way only. It's exclusivity. It's my way or the highway. It is basically intolerance and the idea that another viewpoint would be raised or that Jesus could be brought into the equation is utterly foreign to them. Thank God for your six-year-old standing up and saying what he said. And this is something where as long as your kid's in that school, you've got to keep standing in a friendly, gracious way. You've got to get there. You've got to stay involved. You've got to continue to just be kind of a constant fly on the wall, monitoring what's happening and then holding them accountable. And how did they, we're almost out of time, but how did they respond to you, Frank, about the diversity?
The principal was very open, and said she was going to talk to the teacher, and they've been very respectful of my son, and he gets along great with the other kids. And I have no problem with it if they're going to teach those types of things, as long as other points of views was my concern of being brought into the classroom,
right,
and that it's not, like you said, one-sided and biased, and that his voice is going to be heard for who he is.
And Frank,
to hang that up.
Do you know the folks at Mass Resistance? Are you familiar with them?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, if you need help, get online, go to massresistance.org. They've been working in Massachusetts for many years and are on top of all these issues, and will help you to know all parental rights, massresistance.org. And do you have my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America?
No, I do not.
All right, I want you to stay right there, and we will send you a free copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America. Thank God for a godly kid, a six-year-old, saying we don't agree with this, and we read the Bible and talk about Jesus in my home. Thank God for that. All right, Johnny, get Frank's mailing address. We'll send him a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America. Also, Brian in Honeybrook, not able to get your call right now. If you don't have my book, Revolution, The Call of Holy War, I encourage you to get it. Also, go to townhall.com as you're asking about practical things to do to bring about change in society. Go to townhall.com. Read my article today, 7 Biblical Principles for World Changers. Friends, I'm out of time, but I highly recommend to you the resource offer for this week. It is 24 hours of teaching. The best I ever taught these classes, 12 hours each. You listen to it on your computer, your MP3 player. 12 hours on spiritual warfare, 12 hours on angels, demons, and deliverance, how deception works, how the enemy works, how we can war in the spirit, how we can live these things out biblically. It's only $40 plus postage. Today, $15 postage paid. That's right. Savings of 2/3 the normal price if you add in the postage. $15 postage paid. You can order multiple copies as well. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time. That's 1-800-278-9978, or go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, and click on the online bookstore. My bottom line today, the more things crumble and deteriorate around us, the more families fall apart and marriage is redefined, the more our light is needed. Do not be discouraged. Put your hope in God. Well, what happens if the Supreme Court makes the wrong ruling and decides to redefine marriage nationally? What does that mean to each of us as believers?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, there is a saying, being forewarned is being fore-equipped. We, as God's people, should not be taken off guard by the things that happen in society and the world around us. We should understand times and seasons. I don't mean identifying every prophecy with a newspaper headline, but we should understand trends and what is taking place. And we should have spiritual discernment so that we are not caught unaware, off guard. We should be as the sons of Issachar in 1 Chronicles, the 12th chapter, who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on this Wednesday. On Wednesdays, we focus on the world, on moral and cultural issues. And I have a special guest who will be joining me, Matt Barber, an attorney concentrating on constitutional law. He's vice president of Liberty Counsel Action, serves as associate dean and adjunct assistant professor of law at Liberty University Law School. He is also a friend and colleague. We're going to be talking in a moment about the implications of the Supreme Court ruling, which would be happening very shortly, on redefining marriage, the implication of the administration standing against marriage and wanting to redefine it. What happens if these changes actually take place? What do we do as believers? What does it mean to us? A whole lot to talk about. Matt, thanks for taking time out of your schedule to join us on the air today.
Hey, good to be on, brother.
Hey, Matt, I understand that you're using your wife's cell phone today to connect. What in the world happened to your phone, buddy?
Yeah. My phone was left in a cab in Nashville, Tennessee, where I saw you there at the National Religious Broadcasters Conference just this past week, and it was such a rush to get out of the cab at the airport that I'm having to borrow my wife's iPhone today. So,
all right. So you lost your phone in Nashville, as you said. You made me sounds like a country song. Hey,
yeah,
Matt.
Exactly. Yeah.
Before we talk about these major national issues, you wrote an article, a poignant, caring, compassionate article, an open letter to gay teens, and what you would say to one of your own kids if they came out and said they were gay. It's gotten a lot of attention. Have you gotten just only gracious responses and people thanking you for reaching out, or maybe some other responses?
Yeah, and you know, I think that's a rhetorical question. Yeah, no. In fact, from this one particularly, I've gotten a number of death threats. And as you know, Michael, in doing your outreach every year, your God Has a Better Way outreach there in Charlotte to the homosexual community as they have their festival and so forth, you realize that no matter how much love you approach some in the homosexual community, particularly the radical activists within the community, no matter how much love and biblical truth you approach them with, they are going to have a visceral, sometimes even a violent reaction, because you know that they simply don't want to be held accountable, don't want to have to delve into the reality that we are all, you know, individuals created in the image and likeness of a sovereign God who has set both a series of natural laws around the universe, but also a series of moral laws that they are, violating.
And those are best, yeah, and those laws, those laws are best for us. Sorry, I had to cut in there, Matt. All right, we come back. I've got some really serious questions for Matt Barber. We'll take your calls to 866-34-TRUTH.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My guest, Matt Barber, an attorney with Liberty Counsel and leader at Liberty University in the law school program, 866-34-TRUTH. Matt, let's paint a picture for our listeners in terms of what's happening with the Supreme Court decision. The Supreme Court will be taking up the issue of redefining marriage, the challenge to Prop 8 in California. What we're looking at and what the implications are, first, just in terms of what the court could rule either way and how that affects us. And then after that, well, what if they come down with the wrong ruling? What do we do as believers? But first, let's paint the picture of what's actually at stake and what the court could rule on this.
Sure, absolutely. There are two major decisions that the court is going to have come before them, the Prop 8 based out in California, and DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, of course, passed with overwhelming bipartisan support and signed into law by Bill Clinton in 1996. So the Supreme Court is going to be looking at these two cases. We're not real sure which one first, but the bottom line is this. The court will ultimately be deciding whether or not somehow our founding fathers, who at the time in all 13 colonies, homosexual behavior was considered a, quote, crime against nature, they're going to determine whether or not somehow the founding fathers intended that the oxymoronic notion of same-sex marriage and inherent within that a crime against nature was a constitutional right. Mm-hmm. If the court rules wrong on this, the floodgates will open. Every state that has an amendment maintaining the definition of natural marriage in a man and a woman, as it has been for thousands of years, every major world religion, every society has held, if they engage in the deconstruction of marriage through judicial fiat, then ultimately we will see the floodgates open. And once you have the official government stamp of approval on the institution of same-sex marriage, that means that homosexuality is a preferred suspect class, a preferred status. And that also means that the Judeo-Christian worldview of sexual morality is criminalized. So essentially that means if you maintain in your way of living the reality that sexual behavior is only moral between a man and a woman within the bonds of marriage. If you do not affirm in everything you do homosexual behavior, you will essentially be criminalized.
All right. So what happens then to the 31 states, including North Carolina, where I'm based, in Virginia, where you're based? What happens to those states that have constitutional amendments saying that marriage is the union only of a man and a woman?
Well, ultimately, it lays the groundwork. It depends on which case we're looking at. California, there are a number of things that could come up with Prop 8, where if they look at it a certain way, it could only apply to a certain area in California, not even the entire state of California. DOMA, on the other hand, if they rule essentially that DOMA was constitutional, then that opens the floodgates. In a matter of time, all the states have an amendment, a constitutional amendment, will be further challenged in court if they are not given federal, if the states do not adhere to the DOMA ruling and so forth. Then, long and short of it is that all 31 states, their constitutional amendments will be wiped out. Same-sex marriage will be the law of the land, and homosexual behavior will be considered a suspect minority status. I mean, Christians will be the modern-day racist in the eyes of government. This pits government directly against the exercise of free exercise of religion, and the problem will skyrocket.
And basically what we've seen thus far is when there is a conflict between religious freedoms and sexual freedoms, that sexual freedoms have been consistently winning in the courts, and this would push it much further. Matt, we know what the president said on Inauguration Day, that he made himself clear where the direction he's going and wants to use the force of the U.S. government to turn the tide in this direction and to make homosexuality the same as skin color or women's rights. and to redefine marriage. He made that clear. Nonetheless, you still have nine judges. Of course, you have a God who rules in heaven, which is the greatest issue. But Justice Roberts surprised many with his ruling on Obamacare. From the inside of the inside, which is where Liberty Counsel is with other key Christian attorneys and legal firms now, what's your sense as we're praying for God's will and for justice and for that which is right? What are people saying as they're discussing the potential outcome?
For sure. And anytime you're dealing with the Supreme Court, it's a toss-up. You can look to the justices, previous rulings and try to kind of attach the dots. But the conventional wisdom is essentially that you have four justices that will rule to uphold DOMA, four justices that will rule against Joe DOMA, the liberal justices, the more conservative, and Justice Kennedy being the swing vote. So everyone is turning their attention and making their arguments in legal briefs and amicus briefs and in the court of public opinion and op-ed pieces and throughout the media and so forth. Everything that you're seeing written and said is geared toward one man, Justice Kennedy, to try to sway him one way or the other. So, if I were a betting man, I would step back from this one because it is really a toss-up, Michael. Everybody will be waiting with bated breath to see how the court comes down on this.
All right, so let's say the court comes down on the wrong side of this, as they did with Roe v. Wade with disastrous results a generation ago with the slaughter of 55 million unborn. Let's say they make the wrong decision on this and all of the scenario that you're suggesting unfolds. What do believers do? What strategies are being put forth? There are already states that have redefined marriage. So you have, for example, a clerk in New York City, a marriage clerk, who says, well, I can't in good conscience give a marriage certificate for two men or two women, so someone else will have to do it. Well, does that person get fired? Should Christians be taking these stands, or do we just understand, well, it's an evil, fallen world, and there are going to be a lot of unrighteous things. Let's just continue to preach the gospel. What's your take on what comes next? What do we do? Where do we stand?
It will separate the wheat from the chaff. There's no doubt about it. People will have to make a decision. Do I violate my conscience? Do I violate unchanging, unchangeable, sovereign word of God, or do I bow to Caesar? So we've seen what'll happen, in cases in Massachusetts, David Parker, a federal judge ruled there that since in Massachusetts marriage was the law of the land, he could not even opt his children out of homosexual doctrine in the public schools. They said, you have to homeschool your kid or put him in a Christian private school. Well, that will even be off the table if the official government stamp of approval federally goes on same-sex marriage. Because even like a university like Liberty University, if a gay, married, in quotes, couple comes and wants to attend Liberty School of Law, and we say, well, no, your behavior, your lifestyle is in violation of our mission and of biblical truth. Well, guess what? We've seen like in the Bob Jones case with racial issues, which was properly ruled upon, they will compare that to essentially Christian universities, Christian schools, even churches can lose tax-exempt status, can lose funding. This is what I see coming down the pipe here if this decision goes the wrong way, and you are going to see persecution of Christians who stand firm on biblical truth.
Yeah, and Matt, as you said, this is going to separate the wheat from the chaff, the wheat from the tares, because it's going to push people to a point where they have to make a decision. You know, a lot of people say, well, why don't you just live and let live? Well, that option's not being given to us anymore. In other words, this is not a matter of, well, let's just mutually coexist. This is a matter of people looking at us and saying, you do not have the right to your beliefs. Matt, we've got 1 minute before the break. Then just a couple more questions I wanted to ask in the last segment we have together. But in 1 minute, a school like Liberty, if you have to lose your accreditation, if you have to lose your government standing to do what's right, do you stand up for what's right or do you cave in?
Liberty has a long history under Jerry Falwell of standing for God's truth. And people, like the leadership at Liberty University, people all across the country are going to have their Martin Luther King Jr. moment. Civil disobedience may have to take place to put our value on God's rule, obedience to God's law versus immoral laws that fly in the face of God's law as pushed through judicial fiat. We're going to have, well, that's what we'll see in the future. I think Liberty University certainly does the right thing.
Yeah, yeah. And again, friends, we're not talking about rioting on the streets. We're not talking about burning down buildings. We're not talking about hating people. We're talking about biblical obedience. When the religious authorities, the civil authorities, earthly authorities tell us to violate our conscience, to violate biblical conviction, with all respect, we say, I'm sorry. I have to obey God, not man. We'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. I will get to the phone shortly, but I want to take these last few minutes with my special guest attorney and professor, Matt Barber, with Liberty Counsel and with Liberty University. Matt, I'm just looking at some quotes from Martin Luther King, who said, he reminded us that everything Hitler did in Germany was legal. He also said, in the end, we'll remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. I'm not comparing those we differ with to Hitler, but isn't it a paralyzing thing with a lot of Christians that if the law supports it, or if the law says it's right, that then they somehow feel they can't stand against that, you know, because they can't break the law? Isn't that kind of a paralyzing mentality to believers?
Well, sure it is, and people will misuse and abuse, I think, you know, Christ's words when he said, you know, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and but, you know, Jesus was also very clear that if Caesar is demanding and that you do something that flies in the face of biblical truth and of the moral law and scriptural commands. You know, we saw Paul and John. I mean, these guys thrown in the clink. And prison in those days was not like it is today. It wasn't three square meals, a spa and a color television. I mean, these guys were in dank, dark dungeons. So, no, you obey God first and foremost, and unfortunately a lot of Christians, I think, confuse and conflate Christ's words, misunderstand Christ's words. They have to understand that where Scripture is expressed on issues relative to conscience, you always err on the side of, not err on the side, you always display obedience to God, even if we're persecuted. We're told that we will be persecuted for Christ's name's sake. So that's just part and parcel of being a Christian. We step out on faith and do what God commands, and then we accepting those earthly consequences, because we are going to be persecuted for standing for God's truth.
Right, and the fact that people call us names and call us bigots and send us nasty emails, that hardly qualifies as persecution. You know, Matt, I go to India every year for 20 years now. We've literally washed the feet of martyrs, widows there. We've had one of our grads murdered on the field by Muslim terrorists. We know the reality of church history. And we're not looking for trouble. In fact, we seek to be peacemakers, not troublemakers. But it's inevitable, as followers of Jesus, that we'll be hated and rejected. And when Christians draw back because someone posts a nasty comment on their Facebook page and it hurts their feelings, that doesn't bode well for the courageous stand we're going to have to take. But my feeling, Matt, is that what Satan means for evil, God will use for good. And that the good news is the bad news. Things are deteriorating at such a rate that Christians really have little choice. We either stand up today or we apologize to our kids and to our grandkids. So last question for you, Matt. Are you living kind of depressed, fearful, hopeless, or with a sense of growing confidence in the midst of the darkness?
Never depressed. I'll get a little bit discouraged if we lose the, you know, little political battles and so forth here and there. But you have to look at all this from the big picture. We know who wins at the end. God is sovereign. We know who wins at the end. So I walk around in a constant state of joy, no matter what is happening around me. In fact, even as things seem to be getting, our nation is plummeting in terms of morality and so forth, that is all prophetic. That is all in keeping with what Scripture reveals, so I'm not even surprised by it. I'm just, we're only called to begin, but God has placed in our heart to serve Him and not to worry about the rest. He takes care of the rest.
Absolutely. Absolutely, He does. And Matt, people like you and Matt Staver and others at Liberty are making a massive difference. We're indebted to you. And together with the Lord, we're making a great difference. Thank you for joining us, Matt. God bless you.
God bless you, brother.
All right. That was Matt Barber. You can read his columns, WND.com and townhall.com and other places as well. Let me grab one quick call. David in Charlotte, North Carolina. Can't be too far from me. What's on your mind, sir?
Hi. Thank you for taking my phone call, first of all. I'm a brother in the Lord Jesus Christ also, and prelude here, I believe, first of all, that homosexuality is assuredly a sin, and I also go out weekly, and oftentimes alongside brothers and sisters from the Fire Church, in fact, and evangelize at abortion mills.
Wonderful.
And the question I have in mind here is how indeed the church is supposed to approach certain things in the world, where knowing that the world, especially in a pluralistic society, is supposed to be able to pursue its own happiness, where in fact I'm not suffering necessarily for standing up for something I believe in when I'm allowing somebody else to do something that I know is wrong. And I, you know, as I told the screener, you know, I look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 13. And I see a guide also as a believer that the world is a perishing place. And for me, those things that are to be within the church, I keep within the church. And when I go to the outside world, what I see is this. And it is...
David, just got to jump in. We are short on time, but let me just comment on 1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 13. Paul's writing to the believers in Corinth there saying, you've got a situation where you're celebrating sexual sin in your midst. What in the world are you thinking? He said, no, look, I wrote you previously not to have anything to do with someone who claims to be a believer and is sexually immoral or is a drunkard or greedy. He said, don't even eat with that person. He said, but I don't mean the people of the world. In other words, people of the world, of course we're going to be around immoral, ungodly people. We're supposed to be. We're supposed to be light. We're supposed to shine. As far as the sin of the world, we come out of the world. As far as sinners, we go into the world to reach them. So if someone in our midst, part of our congregation, claims to be a follower of Jesus and say are living in open adultery, we reach out, they refuse to repent, then we disfellowship them for their good so that they will wake up and repent. But as far as people who aren't saved, well, they're not saved. We don't expect them to live like saved people. We go in their midst and shine the light. Hey, David, thank you for the call and standing for righteousness, reaching out to the lost. Our battle ultimately is spiritual. Paul writes about it in Ephesians 6. Do you know what it means to put on the armor of God? Do you know what it means to stand against the evil one? Can a believer, a child of God, be demonized or demon-possessed? How does deception enter? I cover all these topics in depth, two 12-hour classes, one on spiritual warfare, one on angels, demons, and deliverance. With postage, it's about $45 for the two. This week, postage paid $15 for the two complete series, 24 hours of teaching, just $15 to get this out to the maximum number of people. But you've got to call the order now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Or go to our online bookstore, askdrbrown.org. Click on the online bookstore to order there. Multiple copies. Go for it. Get them out far and wide.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the nation.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you, full of faith, full of confidence, because God is God. Yeah, the world's messed up. Oh, I got a stack of things I have not yet gotten to in an hour and a half. Yes, yes, the world is messed up, but God is God. Our God is King. What Satan means for evil, Jesus will turn for good if we work with him and cooperate. 866-348-7884. Here, this articulates some of what I had been thinking today. Talk about a revolutionary. Lenin said this. I had this concept in my mind, not the words, but Lenin said this. No, I'm not a follower of Lenin. No, I'm not quoting Lenin like I quote scripture. I'm quoting this to say this is how revolutionaries think. He said, a revolution is impossible without a revolutionary situation. Furthermore, not every revolutionary situation leads to revolution. In other words, we have a situation now where we can really stand up for what is right. We really have a situation with so much moral decline, with so much collapse in the society that friends, this is our hour to shine. This is our moment to make a difference. A little later in the broadcast, I want to share with you 7 biblical principles for world changers. But look, here's the situation we're in today. There was a chapel, well, a university chapel in Meadville, Pennsylvania, provided a setting for a seminar a couple weeks ago on a Wednesday night, teaching students about, you may have kids in the car, just be careful how I say this, teaching students about sexual things they could do to themselves or with their partner. This was held at Ford Memorial Chapel, which was built and dedicated in 1902, and where Catholic Mass and non-denominational services are conducted every week at Allegheny College. The chaplain, Ellen Nickel, said, I don't have a problem with it being held in the chapel. The program advocates responsible, respectful decision-making regarding sexual behavior. It includes the option waiting for marriage, a message that resonates with many students of faith. I don't have a problem with this being held in a chapel. 866-34-TRUTH. How about this? There is a mixed martial artist, an athlete who is, they have it for men and for women, and this woman is beating up the other women she's fighting against, but the problem is she's not actually a woman. She's a man who had sex change surgery and is now fighting other women. Is that fair? You say, why are you bringing that up? Because that's the world we're living in today. That's the world we're living in today. A world in which the Supreme Court could soon, make a ruling that would say that homosexual so-called marriage is a constitutional right, which means if you don't agree with it, you are now no better than KKK. You are codified as a bigot. And that means that there could even be a threat to your ability to just hold to what Scripture says, even within your church or your Christian school. Yeah, it's time for us to stand up. What are you waiting? What has to happen for you to come out of the closet and be unashamed and say, I'm going to stand up for Jesus, I'm going to stand up for morality, I'm going to stand up for what's right? If this is not enough, the climate in which we live today, what's going to do it? The good news is, with God, all things are possible. We come back. I want to speak to Alex McFarland, who's going to be doing something very important in Charlotte this week. Then I'll be taking your calls as well.
Fire we want, for fire we please.
It's
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. By the way, I my most recent article on charismanews.com was called Why I Love Grace, Why I Love the Message of Grace. I got a letter, 21-page handwritten letter. Who has time to do this? Stephen, I hope you're still listening, buddy. Dr. Michael, parenthesis, I hate grace, KJV, Eternal Election Security, Brown. Yep. God bless my dear brother there. All right, let me get on the line with Alex McFarland, a dear friend and coworker, an apologist, educator, and many other things. Alex, how you doing, man?
Oh, man. Well, hearing the sound of Dr. Michael Brown's voice makes me do great. So I'm very, very thrilled to hear you, brother.
Tell me what's happening in Charlotte this week.
Well, thanks very much. Tuesday night, March 12th, is what I call a spiritual town hall meeting. I was listening to you, Dr. Brown, before I had the privilege of coming on. And you were asking the question, what's it going to take? What's it going to take to get us to come out of the closet and stand up for freedom? And, I think some of the things going on, the government mandates that require businesses, even churches, Christian organizations, to provide services that violate religious conviction. I mean, think about the redefinition of marriage. Think about state constitutional provisions rooted in discrimination against faith communities. There's so many things. But Tuesday night, and everyone listening to my voice right now, I would urge you to come to First Baptist Church. Dr. Mark Harris has graciously opened his doors to me and our team. Tuesday night, March 12th, First Baptist, 7 p.m., Charlotte, North Carolina. Dr. Brown, we're having a spiritual town hall meeting. And there'll be a lot that we talk about and pray together about, but it's about the simple premise that the future of America depends on a revival of Christianity.
All right, Alex, you and I are both students of the 1960s, the counterculture revolution. Our lives were impacted by it different ways. You know the saying, if you remember the 60s, you weren't there.
Yeah.
Both of us have led Bible schools or seminaries and taught, and yet both of us came out of heavy drug background. You were a guitar player. I was a drummer.
Yeah.
Have we recovered from the 60s, or is that kind of a foundation for a lot of the cultural degeneration that continues until this day?
Oh, Dr. Brown, that is a great question. We have not, in fact, recovered from the 60s. The 60s are still going on right now in a lot of ways. I mean, think about what we were in 1960 and think about what America was in 1970. Really, politically, socially, philosophically, and even spiritually, that was such a pivotal decade. And what we're seeing today, I mean, the fact that, we are redefining what marriage is, the fact that federal money is being used to fund the killing of unborn human life, the fact that we have, in many ways, turned our back on our longest ally in the Middle East, Israel. I mean, the fact that so many things are topsy-turvy these days, undermining the very future of our Constitution, I would say. All of these cultural erosions of freedom and liberty and our godly heritage really got their, if not their start, at least their momentum in the 1960s.
So we've seen the sweeping changes that have come. Someone said if you fell asleep in 1960, woke up in 2000, you'd see the divorce rate doubled, teen suicide tripled, reported violent crime up 4 times, prison population up 5 times, kids born out of wedlock up 6 times, people living together out of wedlock up 7 times. Now it's something to like up 12 times from what it was. Is it possible with God's intervention and with God's people awakening that America can be turned back, or once you go down this slope, is there no way back?
I think it's possible to turn back, but it's got to start with the people of God gathering to pray. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really think, Dr. Brown, that prayer and unity within the body of Christ, and then some proactive, out-of-our-comfort-zone Christian activism are absolutely necessary. You know, there's so many precedents. Zechariah chapter 3 talks about Israel could be saved in a day. I mean, when God decides to act, people and nations can be turned around in rapid fashion. And we that's our hope. But friends, think about it. The incremental, gradual erosion of God and country, the influx of so many belief systems competing for the hearts and minds of people, and the fact that we would, in various parts of the country like Dearborn, Michigan, and Newark, New Jersey, there would even be entertained the idea of Sharia as a subset of American jurisprudence. Folks, our Constitution, the future of our Constitution, hangs in the balance. I mean, these things would have been unthinkable. And, you know, this is time for the church to pray, to unify. And, Dr. Brown, I've got to say this. For a long time, the church has operated each within its own silo. There are the different denominations. But we're to the point, and look, we've got the numbers. The body of Christ has got the numbers. We're to the point where any friend of Jesus had better be a friend of ours. You know, some people sleep in the pews, some people jump over them. If you love Jesus and you believe in God and country and our Constitution, we had better link arms and speak with a unified voice, not only about the need for prayer and repentance and turning to God, but about things like American sovereignty, the U.S. Constitution, freedom of religion, and let me say this, friend. You might say, well, Alex, I'm a Christian, and I just don't like to involve myself in politics. I assure you, politics will involve itself in you if you don't speak up. And preachers being able to preach the whole counsel of God and call sin, sin. I mean, Dr. Brown, don't you find it interesting that without any science proving that people are born gay, quote-unquote, without any great discovery that should persuade us that 2,000 years of Western civilization be turned on its head, we're redefining what morality is.
Yeah, and there's been no new understanding of Scripture, no archaeological, linguistic, or historical data that's come to light to change our view of Scripture. It's just been people speaking out, and the fact that we know a nice gay person in our family or down the block, and we shouldn't be mean. I mean, it's extraordinary. Leonard Ravenhill said if Jesus had preached the same message that ministers preach today, he would never have been crucified. Pastors and leaders have to lead the way by taking a stand. Hey, Alex, we're almost out of time, but again, this will be this coming Tuesday, so Tuesday night, March 12th, is that correct?
That's right, and we will stream it online. You can go to the website truthforanewgeneration.com, truth, F-O-R, truthforanewgeneration.com. If you can't be there, at least watch online, 7 o'clock, Tuesday, March 12th. Pray for America, or we'll lose America.
Got it. Yeah, we've got to start with turning to God, and with Him, all things are possible, but it's going to come to you and me standing up and living this out. Alex, thanks for what you do. Again, this is a great opportunity. If you're in Greater Charlotte, come out. This is going to be an interactive spiritual town hall meeting at First Baptist Church in Charlotte, 6 days from today, March 12th, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, and then streaming live on truthforanewgeneration.com or .org?
.com.
.com. All right, Alex, God bless you, man. It was great seeing you in Nashville.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. Thank you so much.
All right, friends, as we look at ever-growing darkness, we can either throw in the towel or just say, this is it, Jesus is coming at any moment, and still remain inactive, or we can say, what a great opportunity for the light to shine. If Jesus is coming in one day or in 100 years, this is our moment to shine. If God's not going to use you, who's he going to use? Hey, you can't touch all the people in my world, and I can't touch all the people in your world. And God's not looking for superstars or celebrities. He's looking for regular people who've been saved by the Lord, who say, Lord, here I am. Send me, use me. I want to make a difference. Where you live, right where you live, in your circle of influence, God can use you. All right, back with 7 biblical principles for world changers.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I was just looking at a response. I forgot about this, but I'd seen it a day or two ago and responded to it. But responding to my article, Why I Love the Message of Grace, charismanews.com in the opinion column. And here's a response. Wow, Michael, there's a tremendous amount of anger coming out of your articles. This is the message. Why I love the message of grace, where I share my testimony in God's transforming love and how wonderful grace is. This person says, Michael, it's the November elections that still has you tied up in knots, isn't it? Oh, God. Bless this dear, deluded person. I responded with very funny post. I actually thought you were being serious at first. Thanks for bringing a smile to my face. 866-348-7884. Okay. I wrote an article called 7 Biblical Principles for World Changers. Posted at townhall.com. We'll probably post it elsewhere. But you can read it today on townhall.com, 7 Biblical Principles for World Changers. And I note in the article that the Bible is not only the world's most widely distributed book by the billions, it is also the world's most widely banned book. That's because it is not just an eclectic assortment of ancient religious traditions, rather it's the ultimate threat to the status quo of prideful human kingdom building. The ultimate collection of divinely inspired revolutionary writings. That's how I look at Scripture. Not just beautiful religious sayings, not just profound religious traditions, but a revolutionary book. God's book to show us how to change the world through the gospel. So I laid out 7 biblical principles, and each one is just a quote from Scripture. The first, Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Second principle, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. So let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Third, if God is for us, who can be against us? Fourth, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Fifth, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Sixth, all the nations are as nothing before God. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. Seven, from Jesus, again, I've said all these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Let me just open up a couple more of those in depth. Regarding being the salt of the earth, Matthew 5:13, in the ancient world, salt had a number of different functions, including serving as a preservative. When implied to the followers of Jesus, this speaks of our calling to be the moral conscience of society. But this high calling comes with a serious warning. As New Testament scholar R.V. Tasker explained, if the Lord's followers are called to be a moral disinfectant in a world where moral standards are low, constantly changing or non-existent, they can discharge this function only if they themselves retain their virtue. end quote. Put another way, we cannot change the world if we ourselves are not changed. Number two, from Jesus, you are the light of the world. The city on a hill cannot be hidden. Then he goes on explaining that when you light a candle, you don't hide it, but you put it out for all to see. The same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. As I explained in the article, the greatest problem in America today is not so much the presence of darkness as it is the absence of light. Put another way, it is no surprise that sinful people do sinful things. Do we really expect carnally minded Hollywood producers to put out God glorifying, biblically based, family friendly flicks? So we can't be shocked when the darkness is dark. Instead, we who claim to be devoted to God must shine the light brightly, and we must do it in deed and not only in word. This begins with compassionate ministry to the hurting and the poor. Then, principle number three, Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? It's so easy, friends, to put our trust in numbers as if revolutionary change can only happen when our side is in the majority. But even the secular world knows this is not true. As Fidel Castro remarked, I began revolution with 82 men. If I had to do it again, I'd do it with 10 or 15 and absolute faith. It does not matter how small you are, he said, if you have faith and plan of action. That's Castro. That's what Castro could do with a handful of dedicated men. What could God do with them? Oh, and let me give you one last one. Can't get through all seven now. I'll skip to number six. All the nations are as nothing before God. They were counted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. Isaiah 40:17. Remember to keep your perspective. Some of the most ferocious, intimidating leaders of history are nothing more than dust and ashes today. And the Iron Curtain, the Bamboo Curtain, and the Berlin Wall all came down in the last generation. As a historian once observed 2,000 years ago, Nero was considered to be the divine emperor, while the Apostle Paul was a little-known Roman prisoner soon to be beheaded. Who knew that centuries later people would call their dogs Nero and their sons Paul? Hey, keep your perspective. Keep doing right because you're doing it before the Lord. Keep standing for Jesus because he remains unchanging and he alone is the hope of the world. Don't be ashamed of the one that shed his blood publicly, humiliated, dying a shameful criminal's death. Don't be ashamed of the one who is not ashamed to die for you and for me. Let me remind you that our battle is not with flesh and blood. Our battle is not with people. Our battle is ultimately spiritual. That's why we need to understand spiritual warfare. That's why we need to understand the ways of the enemy. Paul writes that we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. We're called to be sober and vigilant, resist the devil. This series that I have actually two complete series, it would be a great deal for one, but if you call today, we're making these available, two for less than the price of one, two complete 12-hour teaching series. You're waiting for the punchline. No, we're doing this to get these to you. Trust me. $15 postage paid for two complete series, 12 hours each, one on spiritual warfare, one on angels, demons, and deliverance. And these are made so you listen to them on your computer or on your MP3 player, all right? So $15 postage paid, obviously. We're just trying to get these out to you because you'll be blessed and helped by them. Call or order 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or go to our bookstore, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the online bookstore and you'll see the special offer. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today: if God is for us, no one can be against us. Don't be intimidated by the media, by the polls, by the elections. Put your faith in the unchangeable, unshakable God.